Jesus saves this morning. Jesus saves.
We have heard the joyful sound. Jesus saves, Jesus saves. Spread the gladness all around. Jesus saves, Jesus saves. Bear the news to every land. Climb the steeps and cross the waves. Onward tis our Lord's command. Jesus saves, Jesus saves. Waft it on the rolling tide. Mighty voice, Jesus saves, Jesus saves. Let the nations now rejoice. Jesus saves, Jesus saves. Shout salvation full and free. Highest hill and deepest cave. This our song of victory. Jesus saves, Jesus saves.
Amen. You may be seated.
Good morning. Hope everybody's excited to be in God's house this morning. I know that I am, and I can tell by the looks of your all's faces you all are excited too. In case you did not know, Dan and Susie got married on Saturday, so they're enjoying some quality time together, as they should be. So I am blaming, though, Dan and Susie getting married on Tennessee's loss last night, okay? I'm blaming that on them. So, and I'm not ashamed to say that one bit, okay? But we hope they have a wonderful, wonderful time. And I know they're going to be gone for a bit too, going down to Florida and going to Hilton Head and things like that. So I do want to encourage everybody, if you have a need or if somebody goes into the hospital or something like that, call me, text me, call Les, call Tom. Because we don't want to be aggravating Dan and Susie. We want them enjoying their time together. And if I can do anything, I will. And if I can't, I'll find somebody that can, okay? So let's just remember them, all right? But it is great to be out in God's house this morning. Good to see this number out. We got some traveling, not only them, but several others traveling. And some sicknesses going on as well. It's just that time of year when flu and stuff starts going around. So nothing wrong with that, and we appreciate those that are sick staying home and tuning in online and not spreading that with everybody else. You guys can keep that, okay? We don't want it. You guys can keep that at your house, all right? But we'll look forward to when you guys can come back, okay? Let's go ahead. We do offering next, Les. Let's take up an offering, okay? Chris, come up. Henry, come on up. Amen. Henry, you go ahead and bless the offering, buddy. Gathering the offering, I'm still not good at this. If you're a visitor, fill out that visitor's card in about 3 seconds and drop it in that offering plate, okay? Thank you.
All right, 137 in your book, if we'll stand again and sing this congregational together. 137.
Tis so sweet to trust in Jesus, just to take Him at His word, just to rest upon His promise, just to know the saith the Lord. Jesus, Jesus, how I trust Him, how I've proved Him o'er and o'er. Jesus, Jesus, precious Jesus, oh, for grace to trust Him more. Oh, how sweet to trust in Jesus, just to trust His cleansing blood, just in cleansing flood. Jesus, Jesus, how I trust Him, how I've proved Him o'er and o'er. Jesus, Jesus, precious Jesus, oh, for grace to trust Him more. And I'm so glad I've learned to trust Him, precious Jesus, Savior and friend.
Too little, you're exactly right. And I'm in my 60s now, so that's just not going to work. So you just pray that that old memory stays halfway decent today, this morning. If it don't, we'll just muddle through it.
He was just a young man when he first got the call. Come and join in the battle, come and give us your all. And he rose up to follow, leaving all else behind. And he joined in this song when he reached the front lines.
It's an honor to serve, to join in the fight, to lift up my voice, to lay down my life, giving glory to God, seeking none in return. It's an honor to serve.
Now the day he was captured, they locked him in chains, and though weeks turned to years, still his faith stayed the same. As his body was broken, his dark hair turned gray, but each night in his cell he would stand up and say,
it's an honor to serve, to join in the fight, to lift up my voice and to lay down my life, giving glory to God, seeking none in return. It's an honor to serve.
Now one day the war finally came to an end. And he spoke with his heart as he stood with his men. We're honored to have had the opportunity to serve our country under difficult circumstances. We're profoundly grateful to our Commander-in-Chief and to this nation for this day. God bless America. As they lifted the flag at the front of the crowd, I watched him stand up and bring his hand to his brow. Oh Lord, help me remember what true honor means, and no matter the cost, to stand up and sing. It's an honor to serve, to join in the fight. I will lift up my voice and I will lay down my life, giving glory to God, seeking none in return. It's an honor to serve. It's an honor to sing it with me. To join in the fight, I will lift up my voice and I will lay down my life, giving glory to God, seeking none in return. It's an honor to serve. It's an honor to serve. From Liberty Fellowship Church, if you're a veteran this morning, or if someone in your family is, we are thankful and we are grateful to you for serving the United States of America. God bless you.
Amen. Amen. Thank you for sharing that this morning, Tom. I'd like for any of our other veterans here that's in attendance this morning, if you don't care, if you're able this morning, would you please stand this morning? Any other veterans? Give them a big hand this morning, okay? Amen. Amen. We're always looking towards the future. We're always looking forward to what's happening next, but I tell you right now, we better be thankful for people of the past as well and how they've served this country and what an honor it was for them to serve their country. But I also want to say this morning, it's also an honor to serve God. Amen. It's also an honor to be a Christian. It's also an honor to serve the Lord Jesus Christ, and how thankful that we all should be this morning. And the only way that you can be a part of God's army is to be a born-again believer, hallelujah. Amen. And praise God, enlistment time is still open. If you're not a part of that army, you can become a part this morning, okay? Romans chapter 8, if you brought your Bibles this morning, Romans chapter 8, going to start in verse 12. And I want to kind of show off what's going on in Sunday school a little bit. Of course, they're learning about Jesus and the Bible and all those things down there. But both of my girls were so excited this morning to show me what they drew in Sunday school. Two beautiful looking Christmas trees right here. They were excited about that, so that was awesome. And loved what's going on down there in the nursery and the other classes with all the kids and all that stuff. And I want to encourage you as parents, if you've not been getting your kids involved in Sunday school, it makes a huge difference in those kids. Ellie and Addie, they talk about Sunday school coming all the way to church. They talked about Miss Sandy every day before she had her accident. And now they talk about Linda and Sherry and things like that. So it makes a huge impact on those kids' lives. So I want to encourage you adults, to bring your kids out to Sunday school, because it will be a great blessing, not only for your kids, but it'll be a blessing to you as a parent to hear your kids talk about Jesus at home and what they're learning in Sunday school and things like that. And if you bring your kids to Sunday school, you get to listen to Tom. I mean, how much better could it get than listening to Tom, okay? But so that's a great thing going on there, all right? And we'll get into this in a second, but there's several things I wanted to say before we got into this. I didn't say it last Sunday because I didn't want to take up too much of Dan's time. But last weekend, I got the opportunity to take the teens to Topgolf. We had an outstanding time, a good time. And you can tell that only one female went, because I was expecting shopping to take a lot longer than what it took. But it took about 30 minutes and they was ready to go to Topgolf. So you could tell only one female went. But I hope that don't get me in trouble saying that, okay? But so that was kind of interesting. We only had one run in with law enforcement. Only one. The boys, I'm just going to call them the boys. The boys were getting into the church van while I was in Target, or sitting on a bench outside of Target, and they didn't get in the church bus like normal people. They didn't open the side door and just walk in and sit down. One of them opened the side door and went in and unlocked the very back door that's on the very back of the van. So it looked like they were breaking and entering into a church bus. And they got questioned by two security guards, and which I thought was hilarious. And then I think it was Jacob calls my cell phone and says, Nick, we're getting questioned by two security guards getting on the church bus. I said, you're kidding. He said, no, we are. And if I would have known that's why Jacob was calling me, I would have never answered my phone. I would have made them boys sweat that out as long as they possibly could. But I took care of them and things like that. But I say that to get you laughing, but I also say that to say this. Good bunch of kids went on that trip. I let them roam free. They all had my phone number. If they needed me, if they ran into a situation, they could call me. But we stopped at Bucky's, and they were wonderful there. We stopped at the Turkey Creek exit to shop. They were wonderful there. They were wonderful at Topgolf. So because that they were so good and well-behaved and represented themselves well and God well and me well and the church well, I don't care to take them other places, all right? But I definitely, definitely had a good time with them. And for the record, I won at Topgolf. I won. They may have hit it further than me, but distance wasn't the game. Accuracy was, guys. And my accuracy came through, okay? All right, Romans chapter 8, starting in verse 12. We'll go ahead and get into God's Word. Romans chapter 8, verses 12 through 17. The Bible says, therefore, brethren, we are debtors, not to the flesh, to live after the flesh. For if ye live after the flesh, ye shall die. But if ye through the Spirit do mortify the deeds of the body, ye shall live. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. For ye have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but ye have received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. And if children, then heirs, heirs of God, and joint heirs with Christ, if so be that we suffer with Him, that we may be also glorified together. All right, I'm going to ask Anthony, if you don't care, buddy, to pray for me this morning. Amen. Thank you, Anthony. We do have a visitor here with us this morning, Paul R. Bassler. It's great to have him with us this morning and his son. They came to the church trunk or treat, and I believe Stacy it was that invited them, so they're here with us this morning. So we want to give you all a big welcome out to God's house this morning, okay? And you're welcome to come back and worship with us anytime, all right? The thought that God has laid upon, well, first of all, let me get into this. My mind's going 3,000 miles an hour, if you can't tell, okay? We got an answered prayer sitting in here this morning. John Augustus has been able to return back to God's house. And we need to give God a praise for that. Thank God for that, John. It's good to see you, buddy. We've missed you. We're glad you're back. Yeah. Awesome. All right. The thought that God laid on my heart and on my mind this morning is swayed towards victory. Swayed towards victory. Now, the word swayed means to be convinced of or pushed into a certain direction. So swayed means to be pushed in a certain direction or to be convinced and going in a certain direction. Now, you know, me and Lene, we discipline Ellie and Addie to the best of our abilities. And hopefully our discipline in the early years will pay off as they get older. And that when mom and dad is not there to make every decision for them, hopefully we've brought them up in God's house. They've become Christians. They've been saved. They're involved in God's house. They read their Bible and they pray. So hopefully when they get to the place and point in life where they're making decisions on their own and they're being swayed in the wrong direction and being swayed in the right direction, hopefully we've brought them out to God's house and had involved in Sunday school and prayed and they've read their Bibles and we prayed for them, that they're swayed into making the right decision. Now, I don't know if you know this or not this morning, but every single day we make a decision in our lives. We decide whether or not we're going to brush our teeth. I brushed my teeth this morning. We decide whether or not we're going to put on deodorant. We decide whether or not we're going to use mouthwash. We make decisions every single day. We decide what we're going to wear to work. We decide if we're going to stop and get breakfast on the way to work. We decide what we're going to eat for supper or anything like that. So every single day of our lives, we make decisions every day. Now, we don't think of that as decisions because we just do that out of habit and things like that. But those are decisions that we make every single day. And the weather will sway what you wear. It's a little cold this morning. So I got on long sleeve, shirt, and a jacket. It was a little bit chilly. If it was hot this morning, I wouldn't have on a long sleeve dress shirt. I wouldn't. I'd have on a short sleeve. But it was a little cold. Now, you say, what's this have to do with God? Well, we're getting there, folks. But the weather will sway what kind of clothes that we wear. Deals at restaurants will sway whether or not we go there and eat. If it's one restaurant, feed two for $20. I'm signing up for that. I'm not going to feed me and Lene where it's $50. I'm going where it's $20. I don't care if it's a bologna sandwich or not. I'm going to where it's $20. So, you know, deals will sway us towards a certain direction. Well, then when you start to looking at things spiritually and the spiritual warfare that is going on, listen, it's no different. The devil is trying to sway people one way, and the Holy Spirit of God is trying to sway people another way this morning. We are constantly being swayed. And I don't care if you're saved or not. You can be saved for 50 years, but I will tell you right now, Satan is going to try to sway you to do evil. Satan is going to try to sway you to do wrong. And if you're here and you are lost this morning, he's trying to sway you to where you will never accept the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior. So this message is for everybody this morning. I don't care how much you come to church, how much you read your Bible, how much you pray, how faithful you are to God's house, the devil is still going to sway you to do wrong. He is going to fight you until you fall over dead and go home to be with God or till the rapture comes back. We are in a fight with the devil 24/7. And let me say this. I've saw this quote before and I always agreed with it till this week. Sunday morning church is a Saturday night decision. I used to think, man, that is an excellent quote, and that is an excellent, excellent thing. But I got to thinking about that. Listen, the devil not only fights me about, he just don't fight me about going to church on Saturday night. He fights me through the week, folks. He just don't fight me on Saturday night. The devil just don't fight me on Sunday morning. The devil just don't fight me on Monday morning, Tuesday morning, Wednesday morning, all 7 days of the week. The devil fights every single day. So coming to church is not a Saturday decision. Bless God, it's an everyday decision. Hallelujah. It's an everyday decision on whether or not we're going to let the Holy Spirit sway us and lead us and guide us and direct us. Or it's an everyday decision that we're going to make. We're going to let the devil get a victory today. Now, I don't know about you this morning, but the devil's had enough victories in my life. Satan's had enough victories in my life. I stand before you, a God-called man, to preach God's word, but I'm not perfect by any stretch of the imagination. And I never want to stand up here and act like that I am, because I'm not. But I do want to say this morning. I'm kind of disgusted with myself at how many times I've let the devil sway me into making a bad decision that goes against the will of God. And I'll tell you right now, I'm tired of losing a little battle here and there to Satan. I'm tired of giving ground here and there to Satan. You see what's wrong in the day and the time that we're living in? Churches and Christians have given up too much ground to the devil. We've allowed him to infiltrate our territory. We've allowed him to infiltrate our hearts. We've allowed him to infiltrate our churches. We've allowed him to infiltrate our families. We've allowed him to infiltrate us as individuals. And yes, we're still saved, but the devil has won a battle here and there. And before you know it, your life spiritually, you're just constantly going like this, back and forth between Satan and God. That's not God's intention for your life. If this side is evil and this side is good, God wants you to be right up here in His arms. Hallelujah. So I don't know about you, but I'm tired of being allowing the devil to pull me over here. So some of you may be here this morning. If you're here and you're lost, you and the devil's just like this. You're in Satan's arms. You might not know that you're in Satan's arms, but you are. If you're here and you're lost this morning, you're in Satan's arms. He has swayed you. He has convinced you, and you are on his side. But praise God, the sway and force of the Holy Spirit of God is strong enough to pull you from the evil side to the good side this morning. And then if you're here this morning and you're saved, and your life is like a tennis match. You ever watch tennis? That ball goes back and forth, and them athletes run back and forth. I couldn't play tennis for 30 seconds. I'd pass out dead. Not enough shape to play tennis. But as a Christian this morning, your life should not be a tennis match. You should not be running back and forth in your Christian life this morning. And if you're running back and forth between good and evil in your Christian life this morning, you know what? That's a definition of being unstable. Listen, there's been times in my life that I've been unstable. I've been in the good, I've been in the bad, and I've been back and forth just like this throughout the period of one day. But I want to tell you something right now. If you see yourself in a tennis match with Satan, and you see yourself in a tennis match with God, and you're just going back and forth and back and forth and back and forth, just chasing that tennis ball back and forth, I can tell you this morning, bless God, stop chasing, hallelujah, and just come settle right beside the feet of Jesus, bless God. So what are we going to do this morning? Sway towards victory. Verse 12. Therefore, brethren, we are debtors, not to flesh. Listen, when you get saved and you accept the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior, this is what God gave me, so I'm going to write it down. I tie everything into food because I think it helps us to remember things. But when we become Christians, verse 12, this is how I summarize verse 12. This is what God gave me. We no longer live the Burger King lifestyle. Now, does that make sense? I'll tell you why it makes sense. I love Burger King. So, preacher did not say never eat at Burger King. That's not what I said. I'm going to get a Whopper today. So, go and eat at Burger King, okay? But if you'll pay attention to Burger King, their motto in their commercial is, have it your way. At BK, have it your way. That's the closest you're going to get to me singing at church. At BK, have it your way. Well, I want to tell you something this morning. If you're a Christian and you're a child of God, you don't have it your way, folks. You don't. I don't have it my way. You don't have it your way. You don't have it the world's way. You don't have it the politician's way. You don't have it the boss's way. You don't have it the co-worker's way. You don't have it the friend's way. No, if you are saved and you are a Christian this morning, you don't have it your way. Bless God, you got it God's way. And I tell you right now, when I got on God's way, hallelujah, there's no other way I wanted to be. Bless God. I didn't want the Burger King lifestyle no more. What is the Burger King lifestyle? Self-serving, self-reliant, me-first way of living. We must be swayed away from the Burger King lifestyle. So I want to tell you this morning, if you're living the Burger King lifestyle, you are living a life that is so self-centered and so self-focused on yourself that you can't do nothing wrong and everything that you do is right and you're taking the world by the horns and you're setting the world on fire and you're doing this and you're doing that and you're doing all this and you are doing all that. I'm here to give you a piece of humble pie this morning. You are absolutely nothing. Your righteousness is filthy rags. You can keep doing things your way, but I'll tell you right now, and I don't mean this mean, I mean it out of love. If you keep doing things your way, you'll split hell wide open. But bless God, when you stop doing things your way, and you stop living the Burger King lifestyle, and you stop being in debt to flesh, you stop being in debt to living after the flesh, to satisfying the lust of your heart, to satisfying the lust of your eyes. If you stop satisfying your pride, if you stop satisfying your ego, if you stop satisfying the live it your way lifestyle, have it your way lifestyle, if you will stop doing those things, bless God, hallelujah, you will really then start to begin to live life. You will really then start to begin life. What does it mean? We are no longer debtors to flesh in verse 12. It means we don't have an obligation to satisfy this flesh anymore. You know, the devil likes for you as Christian to feel obligated to satisfying your flesh. He wants you to feel like it is an obligation to satisfy your desires, to satisfy your wants, to satisfy these carnal needs in your life and things like that. And let me say this, carnal needs is worldly needs. And let me say this right now. I like worldly stuff. I like going to ball games. I like having a nice car. I like having nice clothes. Ain't nothing wrong with that. But I want to tell you something right now, folks. I don't live my life to satisfy the carnal needs of this world. We live our lives to satisfy Jesus Christ. And if that means we got to cut some carnal things out of our life, then bless God, we better cut some carnal things out of our life. If it means we need to cut some people out, and listen, I'm just going to tell you like it is this morning. But if we've got people in our lives that are so satisfied carnally, that are wanting this world, and it's having a bad effect on our life, that they're sucking us into that, they're swaying us into being carnally minded, bless God, we need to cut them out of our lives. Because I tell you, that house on the hill is going to rot. That car is going to tear up. The transmission's going to blow up. Bless God. That fancy airplane that's flying through the air, one day it's going to have to get worked on, bless God. But hallelujah, those that have put their faith and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ and are no longer debtors to the flesh, but are debtors to the Spirit of God, bless God, we're going up, hallelujah, bless God, and we will receive a new glorified body and a mansion, and no maintenance will be required, hallelujah. No maintenance on it. We're no longer obligated to the flesh. Matthew 6:24 says, "No man can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or hold to the one and despise the other." If you're here this morning and you're serving two masters, can you be saved and be serving two masters? Yes, I think you can, because I think you can be like that individual we talked about earlier, going back and forth daily between good and evil. Back and forth daily between good and evil. Listen, you're here and you're saved this morning. God don't want you to live like that. God wants to make your life more stable. God wants to make your life more steady. God wants to make your life more secure. God wants to be more peace in your life and things like that. So understand, you know what? I can't have two masters. So if I'm serving this world a little bit too much, let's get rid of it. Let's cut off some of that. Does that mean I make a little less money? Probably. Does that mean I don't have the very best clothes? Probably. Does that mean I don't have as nice as a house as I wanted? Probably. Does that mean I don't have all these things that I've wanted my whole life that I've worked for and that I want that fancy boat, I want that fancy car, I want this, I want that, that other? Does that mean you're going to have to cut out so much in your life that you may not get those things? Yeah, probably. But I tell you right now, what you lose in this world, You gain everything in the Lord Jesus Christ. You gain everything in the Lord Jesus Christ. I want to encourage you to do that. I'll just share this with you. I don't care. I love y'all. Right now in our life, me and Lene, I'm a teacher, she's a nurse. She's dropped back to part-time, only working 2 days a week now. I got my teaching salary, and you all pay me more than I deserve a month to be associate pastor here. But right now in our life, we're making less money than we've ever made. But I'll tell you this, we've never been as happy in our life either. I want to repeat that again. Because I feel like a lot of young couples and a lot of young families, you know, you want to set the world on fire and you want to make money and you want to get the best house as fast as you possibly can and you want to have as many kids as you possibly can, as early as you possibly can, and you want to give everybody, you want to give your marriage, the whole world and all these things and all that stuff. I want to tell you something right now. Money don't equal happiness, folks. It don't equal happiness. Bless God, it doesn't equal happiness. I'll tell you what equals happiness is when you get up on Sunday morning and you hear your little three-year-old daughter singing, Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so. I'll tell you what makes you happy when you got a two-year-old that gets up here on stage and dances like David while the kids is up here singing. And we all laugh at it, bless God, but I'll tell you right now, it thrills my soul. And if it meant that me and Lene had $10,000 extra dollars in the bank account and that wouldn't happen, bless God, make me poor. Hallelujah. Money's not everything. Man, this feels good. I like this. This is awesome. This is fun. Can I tell you, going to church is fun? Being a Christian's fun? If it ain't, find a place where it's fun. This place is fun, okay? Just remember that. It should be fun. It should be fun to come to God's house. That don't mean you don't get whipped a little. I had fun with mom and dad. I got whipped all the time, but I had fun. All right, verse 13. For if ye live after the flesh, ye shall die. I'm going to stop right there. If you stay on the evil side, Satan's over here. If you stay on the evil side and that's where you live, the Bible don't, that's as plain as it gets, folks. You're dying. Die. Hell is your destiny. Okay? I ain't going to add anything to that. God's word makes that very, very, very clear. Verse 13, for if you live after the flesh, you shall die. But if ye, there's a Dan Foster quote, the mayonnaise on the tomato sandwich. Is that what he says? Okay. But if ye through the Spirit do mortify the deeds of the body. What does that mean? You mortify the deeds of the body. In other words, you do away with them. You kill them. You don't have nothing to do with it anymore. You are no longer about the carnal things of this world. But if ye through the Spirit do mortify the deeds of the body, ye shall live. So God is making a promise right here in the book of Romans chapter 8. If you will do away with the carnal needs of this world, if you will do away with the fleshly needs of this world, and you will live through the Spirit, bless God, you are going to live. Now, I don't know about you tonight, bless God, or this morning, but I want to live. I want to live. Well, the way you live is through the Spirit. But there's something about that. If you're not saved this morning, you can't live by the Spirit because the Spirit ain't in you. You got to get saved for the Spirit to get in you. So if you're here and you're lost this morning, it is impossible for you to live by the Spirit. The Holy Spirit. And the only way the Holy Spirit can live inside of you is if you confess your sins and confess the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior. So if you're here and you're lost this morning, you want to live, that's what you got to do. That's the only thing you should be focused about this morning. That's what you got to do. Now, if you're here and you're saved this morning and you've given in to the carnal needs more than you have the spiritual needs this morning, well, now we're going to get to that. Verse 14, for as many are as led by the Spirit of God. Now, so how do you as a Christian, how do I stop going back and forth like this tennis match between good and evil, and how can I constantly stay on doing what's right over here on the good side? How can I constantly stay doing what is good? It tells you right here,
God will lead you to what is good. The Holy Spirit will lead you to what is good. In other words, if God is not leading you there, and the Holy Spirit is not leading you there, but you're going there, you're in the wrong place. You're in the wrong place. You see, it's not up to you to decide what's good and evil. God's already decided that. Yeah. It's not up to you to decide what's right and wrong. We live in a day and a time today, everybody wants to get in an argument with what's right or wrong. Listen, folks, God's already decided what's right and wrong. There ain't no argument when it comes to that. The only thing that matters at the end of the day, bless God, is I want to be found on the right side, not the wrong side. And the right side is with the Lord Jesus Christ. I work with a lot of troubled teens and stuff, young people and things like that. So I'll use several examples with this. Young people, if you know that there's a party going on and there's going to be drugs, and there's going to be alcohol and all kinds of things like that going on and things like that, I can tell you for 100% fact, the Spirit of God is not going to lead you there. Jesus Christ ain't going to lead you there. God is not going to lead you there. So don't go. You might say, well, that's hard, preacher. If I say, you know, my best friend's asking me to go. And if I don't go, they may not be my friend no more. Well, here's my advice on that, something I learned pretty quick. If they ain't going to be your friend because you won't get drunk or because you won't do drugs or because you won't participate in premarital sex or because you won't watch porn or anything like that, you don't need to have them as a friend anyway. Amen. You might say, well, you said porn from the pulpit. Let me tell you something right now. That is something that is destroying young people. And if it is not brought up in church, shame on us. Kids can get on their phones and pull up the internet and pull up any type of pornography site and anything like that. And I know how the devil works. I was a teenage boy. I know how the devil works. Mom and dad don't know what you're doing. Nobody knows what you're doing. People at church don't know what you're doing. Just pull it up on your phone there. Get on the internet. Nobody's going to know. Nobody's going to understand what you're doing. Can I tell you this morning, God sees all and God knows all. But can I also tell you this morning that when you make that bad decision, when you make that evil decision, God still loves you enough to pull you over, to sway you over to the other side and say, son, daughter, I love you and I forgive you, bless God. Amen. Hallelujah. Thank God for it. Our young people are fighting stuff we never had to fight. I'm 34. I've not been out of high school long. They're fighting things I never had to fight. Never in my life I had to fight. Now, I'm not being mean, but there's a lot of people here that's a lot older than me. So I know they're fighting things that you've never had to fight, okay? I don't know if I should have said that way. Woo, that ain't good. I just heard somebody say there's more of us than you. That's good. Can I tell you, I want to say this too. Church should be a place where anything can be talked about and anything can be discussed. Now, when I say discussed, I'm not discussing on what's right or wrong because God's already clarified that. Let me say this. This is the Holy Spirit doing this. I'm just following. Church is not a place of debate. It's not. These churches that get together and they want to have these debates on what does God say about this? What did this mean when God said this? And they'll get and debate these topics and issues that's going on with the world today. They ain't no debate. The debate's already been settled. So I'm not coming out. I don't come to church to debate anybody. I come to church to worship God. Hallelujah. And may we always do that. So young people, I believe in you. I saw how good you are. Even though you had one run-in with security guards. I believe in you. I know you can do more good than evil. I also know the devil fights you every day. I also know your life sometimes may be like that tennis ball going back and forth. I tell you right now, there's adults in here that tell you the same thing. Sometimes their life's like that tennis ball going back and forth. But God loves you. Let the Spirit lead you. For as many are as led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. Now, I love that right there. If you are led by the Spirit of God, you are the son of God. I am the son of Kevin and April Kaubach. I love my mom and dad, but because I'm led by the Holy Spirit, I'm also a son to the living God. Amen. And Jesus Christ is my brother. Amen.
Glory to God. If you are a son or a daughter of the living God this morning, that means the Holy Spirit is dwelling inside of you. The Bible says, without the Spirit, we are not His. Can I tell you this morning that when the Holy Spirit comes into your life, that is your birth certificate saying that you're a child of the King. Hallelujah. I've got a birth certificate, bless God, that says Nick Cabot accepted the Lord Jesus Christ on this sowing day, and hallelujah, my Lord keeps a record in the book of life, and my name is in there, bless God, and nobody's taking it out. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Woo. 15. For you have not received the spirit of bondage again. Spirit of bondage is slavery, folks. That's not a good place to live. Think about the Israelites when they lived in Egypt. Forgot my snot rag. Think about the Israelites when they lived in Egypt. Think about the fear they lived in every day. Not knowing if an Egyptian soldier was going to come to their house and beat them. Not knowing if an Egyptian soldier was going to come and separate mom and dad from their kids. Man, there's a great fear there. Can I tell you this morning that if you've got the spirit of bondage in your life, and how do you know if you've got the spirit of bondage in your life? Well, you've got the spirit of bondage in your life if you're not saved this morning. You should be scared to death. You should be scared to death. You know something else the church needs to pray for that I don't think we prayed for like we did back in the day? I don't even know what back in the day means. I just hear people say it, so I say it, back in the day. What's back in the day? To me, it's 1992. I mean, I don't know. That's when Rugrats was on television. I mean, I don't know what back in the day is. Back in the day. But I've heard my grandfather tell stories. Churches would come together and just pray for conviction. When's the last time you prayed for conviction for somebody that you wanted to be saved? I tell you, I wouldn't mind if we had a Wednesday night prayer meeting and all we did was pray for conviction. We may only be here 10 minutes. I don't care. God can do a lot in 10 minutes. God can do a lot in 1 second. We need to pray for conviction, folks. So if you're here and you've got a spirit of bondage, that means you're lost. You should be scared to death. But also here this morning, if you're saved and your life's like that tennis match going back and forth between good and evil, there should be something wrong with your spirit this morning. That should bother you. That should upset you. That should make you uneasy. Because I don't know about you this morning, folks, but I don't want my life to be like this with God. I don't want to be going back and forth, being swayed back and forth between good and evil. Hallelujah. I don't know about you all, but me personally, I think my God deserves a little bit more than that. I think my Jesus deserves a little bit more than that. God has been too good to me. Jesus has been too good to me. The Holy Spirit has been too good to me. God has been too good to our church. God has been too good to you as an individual. God has been too good to your family this morning, bless God. As Christians, we should want to give God more than going being swayed back and forth to good to evil. But bless God, we should stand on the solid rock, which is right where all the good is. Hallelujah. Verse 15, for you have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but you have received, I love this word, the spirit of adoption. Whew. Man, I love parents that adopt kids. I love it. I love parents that adopt kids. I love parents that have kids. I absolutely love it. But we've got kids being born today in our society. That if the mom and dad does follow through with the having the child, they don't have a home. Because they don't have nothing to do with them. And they'll put them up for adoption. Well, thank God for these godly families that are living in this world today that say, I'll adopt that little baby. That I'll adopt that little child. I know we've got people in our church here that's been adopted from parent from families and things like that, and that's great. But man, I want to tell you something. There was a time in my life that I needed to be adopted. I was fallen. I was falling into a sinner's hell. I was falling into a quicksand trap. I was falling to where no matter how hard I dug, and no matter how hard I fought, and no matter how much I moved, I was just sinking deeper and deeper and deeper. Well, one day Jesus Christ came and knocked on my heart and said, "You know what, Nick? I want to adopt you." Listen, if you're here and you're lost this morning, Jesus is knocking on your heart saying, "I want to adopt you. I know what you did. I know you spent a lot of time on the evil side. But you know what? I want to adopt you anyway." You know, when we go and look at dogs, I love dogs. When we go and look at dogs, if we see one that's not prettier than the other one, I don't know about you, I'm not ashamed to see this. I'm not going to adopt an ugly dog. I'm not going to do it. I'm not going to adopt an ugly dog. I know that's funny. Let me correlate this so it means something. Folks, I was ugly. I was ugly because of all the sin that was in my life. Yet Jesus walked by the window and saw me sitting there in the cage that I was stuck in, the cage of sin, and said, "I'll take him home with me." Well, glory to God. If that don't make you happy in Jesus, man, a lot of you woods wet this morning. You better be excited that God adopted you when you were as ugly as you were. Y'all beautiful now. Okay, whereby we cry, "Abba, Father." Whew. I get to cry to God because He adopted me. I get to cry to Him, "Abba, Father, Daddy." Yes. There's times I've called my dad when I've needed help and when I've been in trouble. There's times I've called my mom when I've needed help and I've been in trouble. There's times I've called my friends when I've needed help. I've been in trouble. Those are all great people to call, all great people to contact. But man alive, I'm glad I can cry out to God and call Him Father. Well, bless God. See, you don't call me Father. I ain't your Father. God, your Father. Amen. Can't do that unless you're saved. We're in the part now where you're being led by the Spirit. Don't be calling God Daddy. Don't be calling God Father when you're not one of His. You've not been adopted by Him. The Holy Spirit's not living in you. But bless God, if you're here and you're lost this morning, you can leave running out the doors crying, "Abba, Father, Daddy." Hallelujah. Amen. Verse 16. The Spirit itself beareth witness. That's our birth certificate I told you about. I got too excited and said that 10 minutes ago. The Spirit itself beareth witness. That's our birth certificate. With our spirit, that we are the children of God. In other words, folks, there is evidence that we are a child of God. If you say that you're a child of God, but there is no evidence that you are a child of God with your everyday actions and with your everyday behavior and with your church attendance and with your prayer life and with coming out to God's house and things like that, you can say that you are a Christian until you're blue in the face, but if the actions don't support it, you're not being led by the Holy Spirit. And you can't be led by the Holy Spirit unless you're saved. Now, I'm not trying to get you to doubt your salvation. That's not what I'm trying to do at all. But what I am saying is what God's Word says is when you get saved and the Holy Spirit comes and lives and dwells with you, you are made a new person. Amen. So if you got saved and you're saying, "Well, nothing really changed," you need to talk to God. Because when God gets a hold of you, you change. Now you can be saved and still sin. You can be. You're not going to live a perfect life. So we've all had times in our life where we've had actions that didn't bear witness that we were saved. I have. I'd say everybody here could probably raise their hand if you're honest and say, "You know, preacher, I've had actions that didn't bear witness that I was a Christian." I know we get sad, and I know we get upset, and I know we get disappointed, and we should be. It should upset us. It should disappoint us. It should make us sad. But bless God, when you've asked for forgiveness and God's forgave you, move on from it. Get away from it. Move on from it. Don't stay there, bless God. Move on from it. We live in a day and a time today where a lot of,
I'll just say this. Old-fashioned churches, I don't even know what that means either. Old-fashioned churches, they want to browbeat people to death. Now, I believe in it. Don't get me wrong. God's word should be taught and God's word should be preached. But also, when the browbeating gets done, tell them, bless God. If God's forgiven them, move on. Hallelujah. Amen. Move on. Don't stay there. 17, and we're done. And if children, then heirs. Ownership. Woo! Heirs of God. I'm an heir of God this morning. Amen. If you're saved, you're an heir of God. If you're lost this morning, you're an heir of Satan. You're an heir of the devil. I don't know about you, but I don't want to be an heir of Satan. I don't want to be an heir of the devil. I want to be an heir of God. So not only are we heirs with God, we're joint heirs with Christ. We're joint heirs with Christ. If so be that we suffer with him. I'm going to tell you something, folks. Christ suffered more than anybody has ever had to suffer. If that means little old Nick Cobos got to go through some suffering, I'm going to go through some suffering for my Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ.
Amen.
I'm never going to complain about the suffering that comes my way, because my Lord and Savior suffered way more than I've ever had to suffer. That we may be also glorified together.
Amen.
We may suffer with Christ, but we're going to be glorified with him one day. You can only be glorified with him if you've been swayed, pushed, convinced to go towards victory. Does everybody stand to your feet this morning? Les, if you and Becky want to come up, just sing a song, or Tom, or whoever's. Everybody, right now, just bow your heads and close your eyes before they start. I got some questions I want to ask you. And you're answering this between you and God. You're not answering me. You're not going to answer to me when you take your last breath, folks. You're answering to God. So I want you to answer these questions like you're answering them to God this morning. Are you lost? And do you want to be swayed towards victory? If you're lost and you want to be swayed towards victory, come down this morning to an old-fashioned altar. And God will set you where you need to be. If you're here this morning and you're saved and you're tired of your life being like that tennis ball going back and forth on the tennis court between good and evil, and you want to be swayed more towards victory every day, every second, every week, every month of your life, so that your life can be more stable, so that your life can be more steady, and so that your life can be a better reflection of the God and the Savior that you serve, so that God can use you in ways that you've never been used before. If you're a Christian and you want to be swayed more towards victory, you're tired of being that tennis ball going back and forth, I want to ask you to come down and pray and talk to God this morning. Everybody can open your eyes. Go ahead there, Tom. God's speaking to you. Come down. With us this morning. I want to encourage you to come back. Good to have Mouse back there sitting with us. Mouse, I want that hat. That's a good looking hat. I like that hat, man, okay? But it was great. Don't forget about services tonight at 6 o'clock. Next Sunday morning, No Name But His is going to be here on Sunday the 19th. This coming Tuesday night, ladies and men's meet. The ladies meet in the fellowship hall at 6. The men meet downstairs at 6. And we've also started a new Sunday school class for people that have just graduated high school, young couples, singles, starting out jobs, stuff, I don't know what you call it. We're just a jumbled mess of all kinds of breeds of people down there, okay? So you're welcome to come down there and be with us anytime. We meet at 10:20 on Sunday mornings, all right? Let me... Yes.
I need to say something about our fundraiser.
Yeah.
The women's meeting is Tuesday.
anybody here that wants to buy a ticket. They're $10 for adults. The kids 6 and under are free, and then from 7 to 11 are $5. So meet me outside on the porch if there's somebody here that needs to buy a ticket, because Connie has some, and I think Lene might have some.
Good job, Brenda, of swaying people to the spaghetti.
That's good.